chapter 24, I want to deal with verse 50 through 60, as the Lord will allow us. The servant of the Lord has found the one that the Lord has chosen to be the wife to Isaac. He has made her known to the servant of Abraham, and he has shared with Rebekah's family the burden. He has shared with her family the signs and the ways that God has made it known that Rebekah is the one. And he comes to the point in verse number 49 of chapter 24 that if thou wilt deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. If you're going to consent, agree to Rebekah going with me back to become the wife of Isaac, let me know. Make your decision known so that I will know it's settled, or I will know if I need to look somewhere else. And in the verses before us this morning, in verse 50 through 60, we see the permission being given for Rebekah to go. In verse number 50 of chapter 24, Genesis, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Laban, of course, is Rebekah's brother. And we have said that Laban and the family seem to have language that they use that indicates they knew the Lord or they believed in the God of Abraham. There are those who say that Laban will yet indicate that he's heathen, and that might be true. I may not be as strong on that point as I have been in the past. We'll see what the Lord brings us to as we continue our look at Laban. But Bethuel is mentioned here, and this is, as far as I remember, the first time Rebekah's father is mentioned. And the family, looking back on the workings of God and looking back on all the signs and the wonders that God has wrought to make Rebekah known unto this man, they just declare, we can't be for it or we can't against it. We can't speak against this. This is obvious to everyone that it's God's will. And so in verse number 51, behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath chosen or spoken. We can't say for or against it. We must submit by the evidence given that it is God's will, the Lord's will. Again, Jehovah is the name that they use in verse number 51. Jehovah has spoken it. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. When he hears the consent, when he hears the permission, when he hears, you have indeed found the one that's going to become Isaac's wife, what does he do? What he's always done before. He bows his head. He worships the Lord. He glorifies the Lord. And he shows us a pattern that ought to be all of our patterns. When God speaks, when God shows, when God gives us signs, when God tells us things we like, when God tells us things we don't like, but God tells us, our response ought to be to bow our heads, to worship, to acknowledge Him, to glorify Him. And all that we do, God needs to be glorified. God needs to be worshipped. And he bows his head and he worships the Lord, and he bows himself to the earth. And in verse number 53, the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Verse 53, I think I referred to it previously, when he gave Rebekah jewelry, was he was sealing the deal. He has sought to have Rebekah go back and marry Isaac. Permission has been given. The arrangements are now made. And the payment had to be made. The payment had to be paid. And so he has brought these camels. He has brought this great amount of wealth with him. And once the deal is agreed to in those days, he brings forth, I don't know if you want to call it the dowry, what you want to call it, it's the payment to the family for Rebekah's being given permission to go. Now in verse number 54 through 57, we see they're preparing to leave. Now that the deal has been made, permission has been given, all things are in line. And it says now in verse 54, they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. Before, they had prepared a great meal for him. Before, when that meal was prepared before him, he says, I'm not going to eat it. Not until I tell you what I'm here for. Not until I repeat why God has shown me Rebekah is the one. And not until we are agreed, one way or another, I'll not eat. I'll not partake of this. But once the deal has been made and everything has been arranged and put into its place, he says, now I need to get going. He eats the meal. He takes this time of tarrying all night. He says, now send me on my way. I need to get going. I need to be busy. I need to be moving. I need to be about my master's business. And in verse number 55, and her brother and her mother said, uh-oh, let the damsel abide with us a few days. He's been in a hurry to find and identify the woman that he's to take back to marry Isaac. He's been zealous. He's been honest. He's been truthful. He has put God first. He has worshiped God and served God and sought signs from the Lord. All towards the moment when he could get headed back home, that 500 mile plus trip. But now that all this is arranged and the meal has been brought and he's ate of that meal, now I need to get going. Now I need to return to my father Abraham. Now I need to return unto Isaac and deliver the wife that you have consented to have go with me. And they said, well, let's take a few days. I don't think they're changing their mind, but they are at best delaying. And this man's not about delaying. This man is about staying on point. This man is about doing the will of the Lord. This man is about seeking the will of the Lord. This man is about doing the will of the Lord and doing the will of the Lord without delay. But now they seek to delay. Let the damsel abide with us a few days. Well, at least 10 days, week and a half. Let's wait. After that, we'll let her go. And he said unto them, hinder me not. Seeing that the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. Don't delay. Don't propose delay. Don't hinder me from going. It's obvious. Rebekah's the one. You have consented to that. The deal has been made. I need to get going. But it seems as though he can't really get going without their blessing. He can't really get going without their consenting to his taking their daughter literally at this time. Don't hinder me. You have seen what the Lord has done. You have seen how the Lord has testified to Rebekah being the one. Release me, let me go, send me away, give me permission to go, that I may return to my master. And in verse 57, they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. I don't know that this is the first place that Rebekah has been considered in the matter, but here they've come to the point, well, okay, we'll call for Rebekah and we'll see if she's ready to go. We'll see if she's willing. We'll see if she wants to go. We'll inquire at her own mouth. And in verse 58 through 60, we have Rebekah agreeing to go. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. When God is working, everything falls into its place. When God is working, all people are willing and all people are obedient. When God is working, everybody involved in the scenario is worshiping, giving him honor, giving him glory, and is agreeing to go. We find in Isaiah, who said, I'll go, send me, I'll go. When God's working, God's people are willing to go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Ooh, verse number 60. That's so profound. Things are stated here concerning Rebekah that have been previously stated concerning Abraham and Sarah. They see something here. They understand something here beyond the superficial. They blessed Rebekah. They said, you go forth and you be the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. These are promises of the covenant. And Rebekah is included now in that covenant. And they understood that. You're going to go forth and you're going to bring forth the seed that's going to lead to the multitudes, that's going to lead to the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of man. And so you go, and they put their blessings upon her going. And in looking at this passage of Scripture, first thing that jumped out at me that the Lord brought to my mind is the importance of submission. The importance of submission. I don't think I've ever heard Brother Andy preach, teach, bring a lesson, a devotion for us in any way, shape, or form that somewhere or another he mentions the subject of submission. And he mentioned it again Wednesday, subject of submission. And that's the thought that the Lord brought before my mind in this passage of Scripture before us. The servant had to be in submission to get up and go and to seek the wife for Isaac. The parents had to be in submission to let their daughter go and to be obedient to the Lord having chosen her. Rebekah had to be in submission. Everybody in the scenario, everybody in this picture is showing submission. Verse 50 through 51, 57, 58, verse 59. The servant, the family, and Rebekah indeed herself. And I think somebody who's most critical to the storyline, who's not even here, I see submission being displayed by who? Isaac. Isaac is staying home. Isaac knows what's going on. Isaac knows what his father has sent the servant to do. And he's being in submission to all of the workings of God. If you want God's blessings, all of the things that were mentioned in the devotion Wednesday night, and all of the things that we've been seeing in weeks past concerning love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the blessings of those fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, things we've been hearing in Sunday school and the blessings of God upon a people, they all require submission. You're never going to have the blessings of God upon your life until you are in submission to the will of God, until you are in submission to the Word of God. God only blesses those who humble themselves and submit themselves to His will and to His Word and to the preaching of God's Word. I thought in thinking about all of these things and the point where we are on Sunday mornings in the adult Sunday school class, seems like the opposite of submission is rebellion, disobedience. God blesses submission, always has, always will. He'll bless you, He'll bless me, He'll bless us when we are in submission to Him, His Word, His commandments. He'll give us all the blessings, all of the ifs of Scripture are based upon our being in submission. God never blesses rebellion. Rebellion always brings a high consequence. As I listened to the devotion from two Wednesday nights back and listened to the recording, since I wasn't able to be here, you know, I came to the end of listening to that devotion by Brother Luke with the thought that God's word and God's will is always going to be done. And God's word and God's will is always going to be done in God's time. And when God says, if you do this, I'm going to do this, or if you don't do this, I'm not going to do that, we can rest assured, sooner or later, God's going to do what God has promised to do. And Israel went a long time in disobedience, and they suffered the consequences of their rebellion. They went a long time, but eventually God's time came, and God dealt with them, and God carried them off into the captivity of the Babylonians. And they paid for their sins. God means what He says. God says what He means, and God always says what He means and does what He means in His time, not ours. Not ours. So God blesses submission, but He doesn't bless rebellion. We see parents and we see the home here in this passage of Scripture. We want God's blessings upon our homes. We want God's blessings upon our children. We need to stop trying to bring it about by our means. And we need to bring it about by being in submission to God, submission to God's word, and submission to God's will. Parents have a heavy responsibility, but God is sovereign. And we heard this morning, the sovereignty of God doesn't change our responsibility. We're responsible to God to be in submission, parents. And we need to stop trying to save our children and make our children successes and make them somebody in the world. And we need to just be in submission to God, God's will, God's word. We see in this passage of Scripture, I think in Rebecca, young people. Young people, you want God's blessings upon your life? Stop doing what you want. Stop doing what feels good to you. Stop doing what the world tells you is acceptable. Be in submission to God. Be in submission to God's word. Be in submission to God's will. Just trust Him with it, and He'll take care of it all. And if he doesn't take care of it, it's not meant to be. Oh, how important it is that we get the point here, that we learn from these things. God means what he says what it means, and he's going to do it all, just as he said. And none of it's going to fall short in the least little bit. Let our homes, let our parents, let our children, let our young people learn the lesson of being in submission to God. You don't like it? Tough. Be in submission to God. That's no fun. Tough. Be in submission to God. Obey God. And all of these blessings that he promises us will be realized. And we see that in this example of scripture before us. So I see submission. Everybody involved being willing to give in to the will and the purpose of Almighty God. And that most significant question. Don't want to exaggerate. Don't want to go too far. Say anything that is not 100% maybe accurate. But one of the most significant questions that we find in all of Scripture is found there in verse number 58. They ask Rebecca herself, "Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man?" She's privy and she knows everything that's going on. The family's involved. There's no secrets here. There's no subtlety. There's no deception. Everybody knows what's going on. The family has consented, and I'm sure she understood that and knew that was the case. When they propose maybe delaying a little while, maybe 10 days, he says, "No, I need to get going." So they call Rebecca not to tell her something she was not aware of, but they call Rebecca out to hear from her own mouth what her decision is. Will you go with this man? She's already been asked that question. What's the significance of that question? Well, you can know the significance of this question by adding a little word now. N-O-W. Sarah, we need to know. Will you go with this man right now? Without delay, without waiting, are you willing to get on that camel and start that trip that you're never going to return from? Will you go now? Wilt thou go with this man now? And she gives that profound answer, "I will go. I will go." We see this man, as we've pointed out before, can represent to us the Holy Spirit. As Abraham can represent to us God the Father, and Isaac can represent to us God the Son, or Christ, the servant of the Lord that is sent forth to find the bride, we can see as the Holy Spirit. And we're not taking liberties. If you'll study Scripture, consider all the Scripture tells us. You see that these things are so. We see in the book of Hebrews these things revealed to us about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebecca. And these are things that are certainly spiritual lessons for us in Scripture. And so she's asked, "Wilt thou go with this man?" If we think of this man as the Holy Spirit, the question is asked to you. The question is asked here and now in this place. The Holy Spirit asks the question, "Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man now?" I believe every time we come together as a church, every time we come together, The Lord has promised his presence. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He has promised repeatedly in Scripture, in fact, that when his church gathers together, he would be there. And the servant of the Lord is the Holy Spirit, representing the Holy Spirit before us. Every time we come together, the Spirit of God is here saying, will you go with this man now? You hear what I'm saying? You friend who are here this morning who are lost, you know you're lost. You know you've never been saved. You know that great and blessed thing has never happened to you. But here you are again, and the Spirit of God is in our midst, and the Spirit of the Lord is in our midst. And like Rebecca is asked, will you go with this man? The Holy Spirit is asking the question to you, my friend, wilt thou go with this man? That happens every time this church comes together. It's called the general call, theologically speaking. Will you go with Jesus? Will you receive him? Will you believe him? Will you go with him now? Okay, you didn't last time you heard. You didn't 2 weeks ago when you heard. You didn't last year when you heard. But will you go now? The Holy Spirit is working among us saying, wilt thou go with this man? What's the answer? Too busy to give it any consideration? Well, I'm here to warn you as gingerly as I can. There's coming a time when you no longer be given opportunity. Wilt thou go with this man now? The Holy Spirit works in our midst and speaks to the lost that are gathered here. He whispers in your ear, will you go with Jesus today? Will you believe in him now? As we just had our scripture reading. This is the condemnation. The condemnation is that Jesus Christ came, but they have not believed. The condemnation is not because of somebody's belief, but the condemnation is because someone has not believed. There are people here in this sanctuary setting in these pews who are condemned. They stand condemned before God because they have not believed. And the Holy Spirit whispers once again, will you believe now? Will you believe today? It's a simple question. One man put it this way. It's a yes and no question. What's your answer? Which direction will your answer come from? When the Holy Spirit meets with us and is in our services as he's promised to be, and he passes and he sweeps and he moves through us, and he whispers in the ears of the lost, will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? What's your answer going to be? It's either going to be yes or no. Say yes, and thou art saved. Say no, and you're condemned already. Yes or no? Not a complicated answer at all, is it? But let me ask you a question, another question. If the Holy Spirit says to you, as they said to Rebecca, says to you as you sit here in church once again, wilt thou go with this man? Will you believe now? Will you believe today? If once again, as you have said before, the answer is no, all right, that's your answer. That's your right. You can answer that way if you want to. But the question I want to put before you is this morning, what's the consequence of that no? Wilt thou, as he has said many times before, the Holy Spirit says to you, my lost friend, will you go with Jesus now? Will you believe in Jesus now? Will you believe to the saving of your soul? Yes or no? What say ye? What are the consequences of saying no? If you say, no, I'll not go. No, I'll not follow. No, I'll not believe. Fine. What happens if you go out the doors of this church and you get in a vehicle and on your way home or on your way to your plans and all that you got going on, what if you're killed? What are the consequences of that no? You see, again, God is sovereign. God has elect people. God's going to save everybody. He's chosen the salvation in His purpose and His time. But none of that changes your responsibility. None of that changes your responsibility. You got to deal with that question. Wilt thou go with this man? Just as Rebecca had to deal with that question. Wilt thou go with that man? As the Holy Spirit sends forth that general call, saying, come. Come. What are the consequences of your saying no? Not today. Again, I look at this situation and what it appears to me is this. If Rebecca had said, no, I'll not go today, it's almost as though the deal would be broken, the deal would be off, and the servant of Abraham would go looking for someone else. Seems that's the consequence of him getting the wrong answer in this passage of Scripture. If it's your will to let me go, let me go. If it's not your will to let me go, then let me know that so that I may either go to the left or to the right or go looking somewhere else. Again, consequences of no would have been everlasting and eternal. Oh, it couldn't have happened. Well, I'm not asking you to get into a theological debate with me. I'm just asking you, if she said no, what were the eternal consequences? I'm not getting into a big theological discussion with you this morning. I'm asking you, if God whispers in your ear through the working of the Holy Spirit, as you said in the church, as you sit here in the gathering together of Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio, as you sit here once again, as you have sat here time and time and time again, and the Spirit whispers in your ear, will you go with Jesus? Will you go today? What's the consequence of saying no? And it doesn't have to be. Again, I can just tell you what I believe Scripture teaches. And the truths of Scripture never eliminate other truths. The sovereignty of God doesn't eliminate responsibility. I'm not getting into a theological debate with you. I'm saying, if you hear the Lord saying in this service right now as you sit here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you go with this man? Will you go with Jesus now, today, as you've heard it before? And you say no. It may not be as drastic as getting in a car and getting in an accident and being killed, though that happens all the time. It could be just as simple as you never hearing the question again. Well, no wells about it. You sit here in the services of Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio, as you have many times before, and the Spirit whispers in you, will you go with Jesus now? Will you believe? Will you be saved? And you say no. Though you've heard the question many, many times before, you may not die in a car wreck and go off into eternity lost. As a consequence, but you know, the consequence might be God's never going to ask you again. Here you said, wilt thou go with this man? You say no, that may be the last time God ask. Again, I'm not getting into great theological waters here. I'm just telling you things that are implied and things that are stated in Scripture. God says what He says, God means what He says, and God does what He says in His time. And God over and over again in Scripture tells us, if my people shall humble themselves and pray, and I will hear and I will heal their land, well, what's the consequence if they don't? He's not going to do those things. He's going to do the opposite of those things. See, we look at Israel through all those hundreds of years and we forget it was hundreds of years. Hundreds of years of history. We see the people of Israel going through all those hundreds of years and God warning, and God warning, and God warning, and God warning. Seemingly to the point where, well, it's just not going to happen. He doesn't really mean it. Guess what happened? He meant it. Guess what happened? They came to the end of the road. Guess what happened? He says, that's it. I'll no longer have mercy. I'll no longer hear your prayers of repentance. I'll never, no longer hear your turning to me wanting to get things right. I'm going to wash my hands and judgment's going to fall. And you're going to be dispersed as a people and you're going to be taken into captivity. For 70 plus years, I'm going to show I mean what I say. For 70 plus years, they weren't given any more opportunities, were they? They had to pay the price. We'll close there this morning. Not